Historical Necessity of the Third Angel's Message. Chapter 27. Arminian Controversy. However sharp the contention was at any time between those who would have it that God decreed that man should sin, and those who held that he only permitted it, their differences were all laid aside whenever and wherever there appeared those who thought it their duty to represent the deity, as extending his goodness and mercy to all mankind. For both the supralapsarians and sublapsarians held alike to the decrees of unconditional election and reprobation. This new controversy arose in the early part of the century and is known as the Arminian Controversy from James Arminius, professor of divinity in the University of Leiden, who was the originator of it. Arminius had been educated a Calvinist at the College of Geneva and because of his merit had been chosen to the University of Leiden. After leaving Geneva, and as he grew older, his mind more and more revolted from the doctrine of Calvin on predestination, and entertained the scriptural doctrine that the grace of God is free to all, and brings salvation to all men, that none are prohibited, by any decree, from its benefits, nor are any elected thereto, independent of their own actions, but that Christ brought salvation to the world, and every man is free to accept or reject this offer as he chooses. But as Calvinism was at that time flourishing in Holland, the teaching of Arminius drew upon him the severest opposition. Arminius died in 1609, and Simon Episcopius, one of his disciples, carried the work forward with unabated vigor, and in a little while the controversy spread through all Europe and created as much tumult in the Calvinist Church as Calvinism had formerly caused in the Lutheran. And the stubbornness of the Lutherans was repeated on the part of the Calvinists. With these, also, some sought to bring the contending parties to an accommodation, but with no success. At last, in 1618, by the authority of the States General, the National Synod was convened at Dort, to discuss the points of difference and come to an agreement. Deputies assembled from Holland, England, Hesse, Bremen, Switzerland, and the Palatinate, and the leading men of the Arminians came also. Episcopius addressed the assembly in a discourse, full of moderation, gravity, and elocution. But his address was no sooner finished than difficulties arose, and the Arminians found that instead of their being called there to present their views for examination and discussion, it was that they were to be tried as heretics, and when they refused to submit to the manner of procedure proposed by the synod, they were excluded from the assembly, and the famous synod of Dort tried them in their absence, and, as a natural consequence, they were pronounced guilty of pestilential errors, and condemned as corruptors of the true religion, and all this after the solemn promise which had been made to the Arminians that they should be allowed full liberty to explain and defend their opinions, as far as they thought necessary to their justification. After this the doctrine of absolute decrees lost ground from day to day, and the way in which the synod had treated the Arminians only increased their determination, and besides drew to them the sympathy of many, so much so indeed, that the whole provinces of Friesland, Zeeland, Utrecht, Gelderland, and Groningen never would accept the decisions of that assembly. Immediately after this, too, the controversy over the Cartesian philosophy entered the Calvinist Church, and set it all awhirl again, and kept it so.